B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Beit Daf Yud Gimel. We're going to start nine lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Beis, Omud Beis. And the point that's important for the coming sugya is one line in the Mishnah we saw earlier on Daf Yud Beis, Omud Beis. We saw in the Mishnah that Beis Shammai claimed that Truma, and the discussion in the Mishnah was, can you compare the Truma to the other matonis, the Zoreya L'Choyayim, the Keva, to the Chala? But either way, Beis Shammai mentioned that regarding Truma, then one is never allowed to be mafresh Truma on Yom Tov, and there's never a need to be mafresh Truma. In contrast to Chala, where if the Torah allows you to bake Chala, the Torah must allow you to be mafresh, to separate the Chala. If the Torah allows you to shecht an animal, the Torah must allow you to separate the Zoraya L'Choyayim and the Keva, the Matnis Kuna. But what brings anything, what brings produce, fruits, to the stage of being required to take Truma, is it's got to come to its final stage of its production, called the Goyron. And what brings it to the final stage is you've brought it in from the fields, you've thrashed it, and you've piled up. After the thrashing, you've made the pile, you've smoothed the pile, that is called the Kri, is the pile, the miruach is smoothing the pile, and then according to the Torah, you're chayev to take truma. But that process, that finishing of the finalizing of the production of the produce is not something that you can do on Yom Tov. And therefore, there's never a necessity or there's no reason to allow a person to ever have to take truma on Yom Tov. And indeed, you're not allowed to take truma on Yom Tov. And in that context, let's start the Gemara. Last word of the line, Ushbezichnei Derova, the landlord, the host, where Rava was staying, Derova bar Rav Chonon, Havelei Asuraisa de Chardela. He had a bundle of mustard. And lots of things need Trumas and Maestras. Whatever grows, you need to take Trumas and Maestras. We're not going now into the details. The concept of Goyer on the thrashing floor obviously applies to grains, to wheat, to barley, but there's a concept of Goyeron, which is the final preparation of any type, every type of fruit, any type of vegetable, whatever context it is, has its own stage that's called the final stage of the production of that particular whatever the fruit or the vegetable, the grain. And that final stage is what's mechayavit with truma. So here we have somebody who had a bundle of mustard, Omer Le, and he asked him, and this was not a question now, let's see, Omer Le, mahu lifruche umeichal minayhu biyomtev. The question is, are you allowed to be poireach, which means are you allowed to crumble up the seed itself comes in some type of a pod. Are you allowed to crumble up the pod in order to release this seed? On Yom Tov, do we say, you're preparing food, it's like Shechita, it's like Bishul, which is allowed. Or do we say, no, you could have prepared it before Yom Tov. Shechita you can't always do before Yom Tov. Bishul you can't always do on Yom Tov. But to be able to separate the mustard from the pod in which it grows, you could have done that before Yom Tov. And if you could do it before Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do it on Yom Tov. It's included in the Melecha of Disha. Disha is threshing. It's a Toilda of Disha. So that was the question. Lehava biyodi. He didn't know, he didn't have the answer. That means Rabbi Bar Bar Chonon didn't know what to tell his landlord, whether it was muta or not. Also lekamei de Rava. He came to Rava and asked him the same question. Omar le, Rava gave a short and concise ruling. Meililin melilois u'mefarchin kitnyois biyontav. Melilois, which are typically the ears of grain, which are slightly softer, and the way to separate the grain from the chaff which is covering them and from the stalks is by rubbing them. You rub the grains together and that breaks away the inside from the coating. That's called melilin melilois. You rub the ears of grain. Mefarchin kitnyois. Regarding kitnyois, it's a little bit different. It's called mefarchin, which is you have to crumble up because the coating, the hubs of the pods, rather of these, of the kitnyois, which is types of beans, and that family of growth of the beans, of the kitnyois, there it takes, in order to separate the bean or whatever's inside it from the pod, you need the mefarchin, you need to crumble it. You're allowed to do that b'yomtiv. So Rava said it was muta. Asa baya, esve abaya, hamoylil melilois. The halach is that somebody who's rubbing the ears of grains, me'erev Shabbos, that means from erev Shabbos, he already separated he already rubbed together these ears of grains, and now they're already not attached. That means the ears, the grains themselves, have come out away from the chaff, but it's still all mixed together. We know that regularly there would be a winnowing process where you separate the grain itself from the chaff. So lemachar, the next day, and this is talking about on Shabbos, you're not allowed to be moilil melilois. You're not allowed to separate the ears of grain from the chaff on Shabbos by rubbing them. But if they've already been separated, the question is, am I allowed to now separate them, means sort out, so to speak, to blow away the chaff and leave me with the clean, pure grains? That's called menapeach. The halacha is you're allowed to fan or to throw miyad liyad. It means not to do it in a way that you regularly do on during the weekday. That would be aser. However, and we're talking about on Shabbos, you're allowed to do it shaloi kaderech chol, in an unusual way, which is miyad liyad. You can take these melilois, this whole mixture of grain and chaff, and take it from hand to hand, and that way somehow the chaff will fall away and the grains will be left, and you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. V'oichel, and you can eat it. Avoloi b'kinoin, you're not allowed to use any tool for it. You cannot use a funnel. V'loi b'tamchoi, you're not even allowed to use a large plate. They would spread out this whole mixture on a large plate, tilt it slightly, and the more heavier grains will roll down to the bottom of the plate, to one side of the plate, and that's how they would separate it. That's osa. That was the first part of this braisa. The second part, hamoylil melilois me'erev yomtov, somebody who rubbed the ears of grains from before yomtov, and now on yomtov you don't need to separate the grains from the chaff as in the coating, but it's all in one big mixture. You have to do a type of a winnowing here. So lemachar on yomtov menapeach, then you're allowed to fan which is something which is more than you're allowed to do on. It's more than you're allowed to do on Shabbos. You're allowed to fan and throw away and separate the chaff from the grains. Al yad, providing that you're doing it just a little bit at a time. If you do a lot at a time, it looks like you're preparing for after Yom Tov. That's osa. But if you do a little bit at a time, you're allowed to. Al yad, just a little bit v'oichel. Vafilu b'kinoin, you can even use a funnel. Vafilu b'tamchoi, you can even use a large plate. Avaloi b'tavlo, but not to use a board, which is a large area, which typically you would only winnow or you would separate the chaff from the seeds in a much larger quantity. That's asa, v'loi b'napa, nor can you use a fine sieve, v'loi b'kavara, or a coarse seed. That's what it says in the braisa. But what do we see in the braisa? The braisa speaks about hamoylil melilois me'erev Shabbos, and it speaks about hamoylil melilois me'erev Yom Tov. Why doesn't it speak about hamoylil melilois on Yom Tov? Did Rava just not say a minute ago, moylil melilois umafrachin kidneys b'Yom Tov? Here you have a braisa that speaks about moylil melilois on erev Yom Tov, that if you broke away, if you rubbed away the grains from the chaff, then on Yom Tov you're allowed to separate and winnow the two. But to actually break away the grains from the chaff, it seems you're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov, and that's contrary to Rava. Me'erev Yom Tov in, on Erev Yom Tov you're allowed to be moedel melilois b'Yom Tov loy? Answers the Gemara, no. Afilu teima b'Yom Tov. It could be, as far as Yom Tov is concerned, you're allowed to. It's eichel nefesh. I need to eat it. You're allowed to do it. So why does the braisa speak about that if you are moilil melilois on erev Yom Tov, you're allowed to be menapeach, you can blow away the chaffs on Yom Tov? Why doesn't it speak about being moilil melilois on Yom Tov? No, I do the Tana Reisha me'erev Shabbos, since the beginning of the braisa has to speak about erev Shabbos, because on Shabbos itself you're clearly not allowed to be moilil melilois. And therefore, Tana Sefer Nami, just to keep the uniformity of the Braisa speaks that on Yom Tov also, you did the Moilin Melilois Me'er of Yom Tov. But of course, you're allowed to be Moilin Melilois even on Yom Tov. Asks the Gemara, Imkein, Motzinu Truma Shazakai Baramasa. And this is why the Gemara brought this here. Once you see that on Yom Tov, as Rava said, you're allowed to be Moilin Melilois, which means you're allowed to take these grains that are the grains in the ears, in the chaff, and you're allowed to, on that means at that point, it's clearly nowhere near the final stage of its production, of its making it ready, of what we call goyron. It's nowhere near goyron yet. You have to, normally goyron means a regular goyron as you thrash it and you make a pile. So at this stage, it's definitely not chayev with truma. On Yom Tov, you rather say, I'm allowed to be moilin in melilois. I can then prepare these ears of grain, break them away, break the grains away from the chaff, and then separate the chaff from the grains, and now it's ready. And since this is, that means, and since this is what you're doing on Yom Tov, it's now chayev in truma, because now it's the final stage of its production. Moilin melilois. So how can you say now, Mishnah at the top of your base, Amud base, that on Yom Tov, there's never a concept of having to take truma. I've got a case where you can actually prepare something to become chayev. You can finalize, you can finish the process of preparing the grains on Yom Tov, in which case, now that it's prepared, you have to take truma. So if you're allowed to be moilin melilos on Yom Tov, can we not take it for granted that you're allowed to be mafresh truma? How can the Mishnah say that there's no concept of being mafresh truma on Yom Tov? Imkein motzinu truma shezakai baramos. So you have permission to take the truma. Utnan loyim omaritim betruma sheinu zakai baramos avachulu. Did we not see in our Mishnah that in contrast to the matonois and to the challah regarding truma, you never take truma on Yom Tov? Answers the Gemara, loy kasha. It's not a question. Everybody agrees to what Rava says, that moililin melilois, that you're allowed to prepare these ears of grain to be eaten on Yom Tov. And you're allowed to even prepare them on Yom Tov. So how can the Mishnah say there's no truma? It says yes. Because since most people, these ears of grains, what does everybody else do with them? Everybody else, you take them to the thrashing floor, you bring them in, you thrash them, you pile them, you smooth the pile, and that's the goyron. So you're being moilil melilois, it's not considered a goyron. It is not an official final stage of production. It's just like a temporary type of snack. We know that if something is just ready to be snacked, it's not yet the goyron, then you can keep snacking on it. And you don't need to take the truma before whilst you're snacking. Once it's ready and it's at the stage of goyron, then it's tevel. At that point, you're not even allowed to snack. But over here, that we're going to see that our Mishnah obviously holds that even though you're moilin melilois, doesn't receive the status of goyron, it receives the status, or it keeps the status of achilas arai and is mutar. Ha-Rebbe Yosi b'Rebbe Yehuda. The Tanya, we learnt in the Braisa. Hichnis shibolim la'aseis men isa. If you brought in from the field the ears of grain with the intentions of making a dough with them, which means that you're going to thrash them and you're going to make it into flour and make a dough with them, then the halach is, as we just said, oichol mehen arai. All the while that you haven't thrashed it, piled it, and smoothed it, you're allowed to snack from these ears of grain. Upotter, these potter from trumas and maestras. L'moylelon b'melilois. If, however, you didn't bring them in order to thrash them and prepare them to make a dough, but if you brought them in order to just rub them one by one and eat them, and that was your intentions of bringing them in, so Rebbe holds, Rebbe is mechayev. Rebbe says that just virtue of bringing them in, and you're not planning to thrash them, you're planning to take these kernels one by one, break them out, break the seeds, break the kernels out of the chaff and eat it. So that means there's no process after bringing it in. So just bringing it into the home, that is the status of goyron. And therefore, you want to eat it. You have to, Rebbe says, you're mechayiv, you have to take trumas and maestras first. Rebbe Yosi b'Rebbe Yehuda says no. He says that the concept of degoncho is the goyron, and that's the concept of that is making a pile. And since you're not intending to make a pile, and you're only being moilil melilois, you're taking them one by one, you're not piling up all the seeds, you're taking one one ear of grain at a time, breaking it away and eating it, that's not considered goyron, it's not considered degoncha, and therefore it is potter, and there's no chiyuv of trumas and maestras. And therefore, even though we can hold like Rava that moililin melilos on yom tov, it's not a contradiction to what it says in the Mishnah that there's no truma, that you never have to take truma on yom tov. Asks the Gemara, Ula Rabbi Yosi ber Rabbi Yehuda, even according to Rabbi Yosi ber Rabbi Yehuda, that says that when you bring in the ears of grain in with the intentions of just rubbing them one by one, not with the intentions of making them into a dough, that's not called degoncha. It's not called a final making it into a grain. It's not considered a goyron. If so, then there's no chiyuv of truma. But the Gemara is saying, Rabbi Yosi ber Rabbi Yehuda nami mishkachas lo. I'll find you a case where even according to Rabbi Yosi ber Rabbi Yehuda, you will be chayuv for to take trumas, even though it's moilil in melilois. Then the question will come back. Then even according to Rabbi Yosi ber Rabbi Yehuda, there's truma, there's a possibility of being mechayev truma on yontov. The question will come back. In our Mishnah, it makes a blanket statement that there's never a requirement or a need to have to take truma consequent to something you are allowed to do on yontov. Kegoin, what's the case? Shehichnis shibolim lasis men iso. When you brought the ears of grain from the field, you brought them in, you brought it in with the intentions of making it into a dough, which means you intended to thrash them normally, which means that the very coming into the home is a coming in which is going to ultimately bring this tvua to the point of the final stage of its production and a chiyuv of truma. Just it happens to be that all the while you haven't thrashed, piled and smoothed, you're not yet chayev. But at least bringing it into the house was a stage which in and of its own, in this case, because of your intentions of making it into a dough, it was already a stage that was going to bring to a chiyuv of truma. V'nimlach, and then you changed your mind and you decided, I'm not going to make these grains into a dough, into flour. I'm just going to v'nimlach aleim l'moylon b'yom tov. I'm going to just break them up one day, one by one, and nash on them and eat them one by one, these raw grains. The tivlo b'yomi. Then as soon as he's decided and committed himself not to make it into a dough, at that point on, I don't need the thrashing anymore. The thrashing is no longer a condition to be chayev, to be considered goyron, to be considered degoncha. And therefore, since when he brought it into the house, he brought it in with that intention of making it into dogon, if so, then as soon as he decides not to do that, he's straight away going to be chayev with truma. And if he's moililon and he breaks them up and he wants to nash on them, he's not allowed to eat them before taking truma. And so if so, you've got this case, which is mutar on yom tov. You're allowed to be moililin melilos, as we saw before. And as long as when you brought it in with the intentions of turning it into regular dogon by threshing it in order to make flour and to make it into a dough, if you changed your mind from that point on, even if you're moilil melilois, you have to take trumas. Then the question comes back that if so, we have a case where consequent to something you were allowed to do on Yom Tov, you chayev truma. How can the Mishnah say you never take truma on Yom Tov? That's how Rashi explains this, and there's lots of complications here which the Mefarshim discuss, but that is how Rashi reads the Gemara. Elomai, says the Gemara, Elomai truma, when it says in the Mishnah that there's never truma that needs to be taken on Yom Tov, that couldn't be taken before Yom Tov, Rav truma, it means the majority of cases where something's going to be chayev in truma, it's going to become chayev before Yom Tov, not on Yom Tov. But you're right, there is that minority case, this one particular case that the Gemara just mentioned, either according to Rebbe, any moilin on melilois, or according to Rabbi Yosi ber Rabbi Yehuda, only in this one particular case, if you brought it in with intentions of making it into a dough, and then you changed your mind, in those cases only, there's a concept of truma, and either way, we have no proof one way or another here, because it could well be talking about, according to Rebbe, we're talking about any moilin on melilois, according to Rabbi Yosi ber Rabbi Yehuda, as we explained. Continues the Gemara. Omar Abaya. We just now saw Machlekes. A machlekas if somebody is wants to be moilalin melilois. We mentioned that the regular typical stage of preparing anything that grows to be to its final stage of production, where it will be chayiv min ha-toira of chumais, is called dgoncha. It's called when it comes to the goyron, which is that it's thrashed, it's fully prepared in bulk, the bulk is piled up and smoothed, then you're chayiv. And we mentioned that moililin melilo is when you're not planning to do it in bulk, you're planning just to break up a little bit the few grains and eat them. Is that considered a final production and is chayiv or not? We saw that was a machleikas Rebbe and Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Yehuda. Omar Abaya. Abaya says machleikas, this whole machleikas Rebbe and Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Yehuda is only by shibolin, by ears of grain. The regular grains, where most people, what do they do with the grains? Indeed, they thrash them, pile them, and smooth them. And therefore we can understand, Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Yehuda will say that if you want to do use it, you're the minority, and you want to take these ears of grain and be moilulon, that doesn't mean it's come to its final stage of production, and therefore there's no chiyuv of truma. Aval bekitniyos. However, regarding kitniyos, where there's many people that don't prepare them all in bulk, crush them all in bulk to remove the kitniyos, the beans, from the pods and make a pile out of them. Rather, people just take a little bit and just use a little bit as a in their dishes. And therefore, it's common that this is the goyron, this is the final stage of the production of kitniyos. And therefore, Abaya says, in that case, we don't need the bulk. And Divrei Hakel, according to everybody, is Saraisa, just bundling them together. If you have a bundle of these kitniyos, that's already the final stage of production. That's it, tavla, and therefore it's tevel, and you have to take trumas. You're not allowed to eat at all from them unless you've taken trumas and maestras. That was the first version of Abaya. Another Gemara is going to try and bring a proof to Abaya from a Mishnah in Maseches Trumos. Leimu Maseile, let's bring a proof from a Mishnah. Mishe hoyo loy chavilei tilson. A tilson is a type of a kitnius, and they would put a very little bit of it into the dish. And it's talking about one specific type of kitnius called tilson. We'll soon see why. But if somebody had a bundle of kitnius called tilson, shel tevel, it was tevel. So this is already our proof, by the way, that you have a bundle of this. It's been bundled, it hasn't been piled, and it hasn't been smoothed, it hasn't been done on bulk. It's just a small bundle. How small is called a bundle is discussed elsewhere. But you have a bundle of tilson, of tevel. Then what do you have to do? Hareze koisesh, and we're going to discuss the details of this later, but he has to pound this tilson, do disha, he has to thrash it, umachashiv, and make a general estimation, kamozereyeshbahen, how much seeds there are here, how much food, fruit there is, umafrish alazera, and he should be mafrish, the trumais, according to the percentages that he has to take trumas and maishas from the fruit part of this tilson. Ve'enu mafrish aloetz, and he doesn't have to take trumas and maishas on the stalks of the tilson. And we'll see later what this means, but we're going to see it's because unlike most other plants and things that grow, that the fruit and the stalks don't have the same taste and don't have the similar type of use, or they don't have the same flavor. When it comes to the tilson, the stalks have the same flavor as the kitnius, the tilson itself. And I may have thought you have to take trumas. It's also considered somewhat edible, and you have to take trumas and maestras on the stalks as well. So for that, the Mishnah says, no, ve'enu mafrish aleitz. So the question is, why are we talking about tilson? Why doesn't it speak about the shibolim? Say that if you have a chavila, if you have a bundle of ears of grain, of regular grains, that it's already, it's tevel. And tell us what to do with the tevel. Why are you only talking about tilson, only about kitnius? So the Gemara says, La, my love, can we not assume that it's Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Yehuda? It's talking about Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Yehuda, where, as we saw before, and this is what we saw from Abaya, that by according to Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Yehuda, if hichnis shibolim, if you take regular grain, ears of grain, and lemoilon b'melilo, is to make them into just in order to rub them and to eat them one by one, not to thrash them together, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says it's potter. Indeed, since everybody thrashes it, or most people thrash it, the fact that you're choosing to be Meililon b'melilais is not called a Geiron, it's not called a Goncha, and therefore you're potter. So this Mishnah is coming to impress on us that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, it's only by the Shibolim where he says that. But when it comes to Kitnios, even Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, and this is the proof to Abaya, that when we spoke about Chavile Tilson Shel Tevel, this is even according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi, the Mishnah wouldn't be speaking here about Tilson, it would be speaking about even Shibolim. So it must be that even according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, who says that by Shibolim, that you're bringing in with the intentions of Meilin Melilois, is Potter, it's not considered the end of its production. Regarding Tilson, which is Kitnius, it is, and therefore is Chayev with Truma, and that's why it's called Tevel, and the Mishnah tells us what to do with it. Koitesh, Umechashiv, Kamozera, etc. My love, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, he do Omar, Hosom, Loitivlo, who he holds that by Shibolim, that it's not considered Tevel, because everybody else, or most people, the final stage of the production of the Shibolim is by Disha, Kri, and Miruach, thrashing, piling, and smoothing. But he agrees in the case of Kitnias, where many people don't do it on bulk, and then many people, they just prepare a little bit of the Kitnias as you need it for your cooking, and therefore it's considered final much earlier, even if you don't do it on bulk, and it's Tevel. And this is the proof to Abaya. Says the Gemara, there's no proof. Rebbe, it could be that this Mishnah is actually following Rebbe. That Rebbe, the same Rebbe that said that Moililin Melilois is Chayev by Shibolim, also says it by Kitnius. But the Gemara said, I don't understand. If so, I Rebbe he, my Iria Tilson. Why are you talking about that Tilson is considered Tevel? Afila Shibolim Nami, you Rebbe said that even regular Shibolim, the regular ears of grain, when you bring them in for Moililin Melilois, it's Chayev with Trumas and Maestras. Afila Shibolim Nami. Says the Gemara, you're right, that's a very strong question. Elomai, you've got no choice. You have to say that this Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Indeed, you want to say it's Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. And you want to say it's proof to Abaya, that Abaya who said that even those who say that by Moililin Melilois, by Shibolim, your potter, which is Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, by the kidneys will be Chayev. Okay, but if so, we have a question. Le'ishmi'inon Shar Kitnios, the Kolshkein Tilson. Why does the Mishnah tell us that Tilson is considered Tevel? Why don't you tell us about the other Kitnios? Other Kitnios, even more people are used to, not as many as Shibolim, but even more people are used to thrashing, piling, and smoothing with other Kitnios than with Tilson. And therefore, there would be even more reason to say that by the Kitnios, you should, by Moililin Melilois, it should be more reason to say that it's not Chayev with Trumas and Maestros, and then the Mishnah should tell us, even Shar Kitnios, even those other Kitnios, it is not enough people are used to threshing, piling, and smoothing to say that that's a condition to be considered the final stage of production and Chayev of Trumas and Maestros. No. Why does the Mishnah not tell us that even Shar Kitnios is ready Chayev when it's Moilin Melilois for Kolshkein Tilson, and we'll take it for granted that Tilson, which even less people thresh, pile, and smooth, that even there he'll be Chayev when he's Moilin Melilois. Says the Gemara, I'll answer that. Elo Tilson is Srichale. And the truth is, what the Gemara is doing here is saying, no, I'm going to refute the proof to Abaya, and I'm going to say this Mishnah is Rebbe. No reason to say it's Reb Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. We asked a question. If it's Rebbe who says he's Chayev by Moilin Melilois, even by Shibolim, why is the Mishnah talking about Tilson? Talk about Shibolim. Elo says the Gemara Tilson, it's Shichel, it's a special Chiddush. The Mishnah wanted to impress on us that this Chiddush only applies to Tilson. Sol Kodai Techamina, I may have thought, Hoil Vatam Eitzayu Piriyashova, since the flavor of the stalks is the same as the flavor of the fruit itself, the seed itself, Lifresh Namia Eitzoy, that you should have to take Trumas and Maestras on the stalks as well. Kumash Manon, that's all the Mishnah is coming to tell us. That Misha Hoyle Chavile Tilson Shel Tevel, what do you do? Etc. Koisei Shomachashev, Umafresh Alazera, Vainu Mafresh Alaitz. And since we want to impress on us this detail of Einu Mafrish Aloeitz, obviously we can only be speaking about Tilson and not anything else. And this Mishnah could be Rebbe. If this Mishnah could be Rebbe, you have no proof to Abaya. Because all Abaya was saying was that the Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, who says that Meilin Melilois by Shibolim is Potter, by Kitnis will be Chayev. But that's only a proof if the Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda. Now that we say the Mishnah could be Rebbe, we don't have any proof to that. That was the first version of Abaya. Ikad Omer, another version, Omer Abaya, Machleikas b'Shibolim. The whole Machleikas, as this is in this aspect, it's the same as Abaya. That the Machleikas, Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, both versions of Abaya, is that the Machleikas is by Shibolim. And we know that with the Brice at the top of the Omud, Hichnis Shibolim Lasis Men Isa, then if it's the etc., Umlamoilon Bemelilis, Rebbe Machayev, Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda Poiter. So we know the Machleikas is by Shibolim. The question is that since that Brice is only talking about Shibolim, we assume that Kitnius is different. So in the first version of Abaya, we said that by Kitnius, everybody says that you don't need to have the Goyron, it's enough to have Meilin Melilois, to be Chayev. Divir Hakil, Asurais, or Tavla, it's enough just to bundle them. In this version, it's the opposite. Aval Kitnius, Divir Hakil, Asurais, Loi Tavla. In this version, the Gemara actually assumes that more people, they thrash, pile, and smooth the Kitnius than Shibolim. And therefore, even Rebbe, who says that by Shibolim, Lemoilin b'melilois is Chayev, he's going to agree that by Kitnios, that unless you do a proper disha, a thrashing, piling, and smoothing, it's not considered Tevel. Loi Tavlo. So if you just bundle them, if you just take a bundle of these Kitnios, and they haven't been thrashed, piled, and smoothed, there's no Chiyuv of Truma, even according to Rebbe. And now we're going to ask a question, Meisvei. We're going to ask a contradiction to this version of Abaya from the Mishnah. Mi shehoyu lo yichavilei tilson shel tevel. The same Mishnah we saw before. Harezeh kaisesh, he should pound the grains, or mechashiv, and estimate kama zera yesh ben, or mafrish ala zera, ve'ine mafrish ala etz. So what do we see from this Mishnah? We see clearly that chavilei tilson, even bundles of tilson, which clearly have not been thrashed, piled, and smoothed, nonetheless they're called tevel. And if they're called Tevel, did you Abaya not, and Tilson is Kitnius, did you Abaya in this version not say that Kitnius, everybody agrees that it's not, that Lemoilin b'melilois, that if, unless you do a proper piling and smoothing, then it's not Chayv Truma? And Maestro, so how can you say it's Tevel if it's just a bundle of Tilson? Says the Gemara. But this question is only a question against Abaya, only if you assume that this is a regular Tevel, which means that we're talking about that the Tilson is in the Rashus of a regular Yisrael, and what stage of the production of these Tilson do we say that they are considered Goyron, they're considered Dogon, it's considered as final, and therefore is Chayev Truma. But that's only if it's by the Yisrael, if it's by the original owner. My love, Tevel, when we speak here about the Tilson Shel Tevel, is Tavol Shel Truma. It's talking about the regular Tevel, which is Chayev, the regular Truma, Gedoyla, which is the when the person has the produce, the first truma, which minatoira, any amount, the Rabbanon said you should give approximately 2%, but this truma is the owner who grew this produce has to give 2% approximately to the Kohen. And then after that, he gives 10% of what's left, which is 9.8% of everything, to the Levi. Of that, the Levi gives 10% to the Kohen, it's called Trumas Meiser, etc. That's the Trumas and Maestras. So this Mishnah is probably talking about Tevel, the regular Tevel. And you see clearly here from the Mishnah that even though the Tilson, which is Kitnius, it's just been bundled up, it hasn't been piled and smoothed, nonetheless it's called Tevel. This directly contradicts what Abaya said in the second version that by Kitnius, Divrei Hakil Asuraisa Loi Tavla, that just bundling them doesn't make it Tevel. Says the Gemara, no. This Mishnah is talking about Tevel. It says Tevel. It says, Echavile Tilson Shel Tevel. But you know what? There's a different type of Tevel. It's possible to have a type of a produce where in and of its own, which means in and of its stage of production, it's not yet at the stage where it's called Dugoncho. It's not the stage of being Chayev, Trumas, and Maestras. But there's something you can do and almost force it to become Chayev and Trumas and Maestras. And that is the Tevel the Mishnah is talking about. In which case, it's nothing to do with what Abaya was talking about when Abaya was talking about the natural process of producing these kidneys, whether if it's just in a bundle, whether it's enough to become tevil. Where the Abaya says it doesn't become tevil unless you force it. That's not what Abaya was talking about. So in what case, how can you force something to become tevil even if it's not been totally finalized, totally finished? Yes, there is a case. Loi, it's not talking about regular tevil, it's talking about tevil tivul shel trumas maisa. As we mentioned, there's two types of truma. They have many halachas that are similar. There's the original truma, which min haTorah, any small amount, a single wheat of a whole pile is enough to be yotze the your minimum requirement of truma gedolah it's called, which the owner has to give to a kohen. That's the first truma. Then the kohen gives to a levi, he gives maisa, and then of that we call maisa rishon. Of that maisa rishon, the levi has to be 10% of what's left after truma gedolah. So if this person did what he should have midrabanon and took away 2% to the kohen for truma gedolah, you're left with 98%. Give 9.8% to the levi, maisa rishon. The levi has to take 10%, exactly 10% of that 9.8%, and give it to the kohen. It's also called truma. It's not called truma gedolah. It's called truma smaisa. So now, what normally, and it's a chiyuv min haTorah, you have to go in the right stages. First, you give the kohen. It's called reishis degoncha. The very first truma has to be truma gedolah, and then the levi gets his maisa rishon, and then the levi takes on the maisa rishon. He takes the truma smaisa. What happens if a levi comes before the kohen and takes his 10% of maisa sheni, but not from the 98%? That means the owner hadn't yet given the 2% to the kohen. He's taking his 10% maisa rishon from the whole pile, which means that the levi took 10% of the pile, not 9.8%. He took the now as maisa. He says, I'm a levi, you're going to give me 10% maisa. Give it to me now, even before you've given it to the kohen. This person could say, I'm not yet chayev to take trumas and maisras, because you're not chayev yet. But the levi says, well, what do you care? You can give it to me anyway, it'll work, it's valid. So this person, this levi, came and took the maisar rishon. By virtue of the fact that the levi took maisar, then by now he's, by default, he's, so to speak, switched on the whole system of trumas and maisras on this pile. So even if this pile is not yet piled up, or for whatever reason, it's not yet finished, we'll soon see the exact details. But if the levi came before the kohen at that point, then whether the levi has to give the truma gedolah, which the kohen lost because he came too early, to the kohen is a different discussion. But his trumas maisa, he could say, I'm not yet chayev to take trumas maisa, because it hasn't yet reached the stage of production where it's chayev with trumas maisa. It hasn't been thrashed and piled and smoothed. No. For that, that's the halacha, that as soon as the levi takes maisa, you're starting the process of the tithing of the maisras, you're now chayev with trumas maisa. So if so, the levi forced the status and the chiyuv of trumas maisa onto the produce even before it was finalized. And therefore, that's what this mission is talking about. If you have chavile tilson shel tevel, not that it would have become tevel yet. No, because Abaya said by kitnios, since he didn't pile them and he thrashed them, piled them and smoothed them, it's not tevel. The levi forced the title of tevel onto it by taking maisa rishon. Regarding the trumas maisa, he's now chayev to take trumas maisa. Loi, tevel tovel shel trumas maisa, ukdur bavo amrish. Omer b'shem ben Lokish, the Omer b'vo, Omer b'shem ben Lokish, ma'aser rishon sheikdimoy b'shibolim. If the levi came and took his ma'aser rishon whilst it was still in the stalks, it hadn't even been thrashed, never mind piled and smoothed. Shmoy, the name that you've given it, ma'aser rishon, made it toivloy, made it tevel l'trumas ma'aser. You have to take trumas ma'aser even though it's still in the stalks, something which doesn't normally exist. And that's what the Mishnah is talking about. So now the Gemara is saying, Koisei Shlomoli. If according to the way we understood that Mishnah before, that we're talking about the regular Tevel, and we're talking about the opinions that say that even if it wasn't thrashed, piled, and smoothed, it was just to be used, it was just bundled together, it is Tevel, regular Tevel for Truma Gedolah and everything else, then I can understand why you should have to crush the tilson, and namely to prepare it and make it final and ready to be used before giving it to the kohen. Because we learn that out from a pasuk that one should give, when one gives the trumas, one should give it in its finalized state. But now that we're talking here about that it's not yet finalized, the Levi took it, the tevuah, when the tevuah was still in its ears of grain, it was shibonim still. So why does the Levi have to crush it and prepare it to make it into flour, or at least to thrash it and prepare it? Why can't he give it to the kohen as it is? He got his maaser rishon in this state. Give it the trumas maaser in that state also. Koisish lomoli leimalei. Why can't the Levi say to the kohen, kehecha deyavu li, in the same way as I was given this maaser rishon in its shibolim state, I'm going to give it to you in the same state, to you the kohen. Why does he have to be koisish? Why does he have to crush them? Omar Rava. Rava says, you're right, but knosa, it's a penalty. Because you weren't supposed to take your maaser rishon before the owner gave truma gedola. The pasuk says that the truma gedola has to be given first. It's reishis degoncha. You took the truma gedola, you took the maaser rishon before the truma gedola, you have a price to pay. Prepare it as if it would have been prepared had you taken it on time. Tanya mihachi, a brisa to this effect. Ben Levi, a Levi shenosnu lo shibolim b'maaseroisov, that who was given the shibolim, these grains which were still before the threshing, was given to him as maaser rishon. Oisa oison geiron, he has to make that into a produce. He has to prepare it and finalize it before giving the trumas maaser to the kohen. Anovim, if he received grapes, oisa oison yain, squeeze them into wine. Zeisim, if he was given olives, oisa oison shemen, squeeze them into oil. Umafresh alem, trumas maaser, and then take from the wine and the oil, take trumas maaser, 10%, and give to the kohen. V'noisnam l'kohen. Shekashem shek truma gedoyla, in the same way as truma gedoyla, which is that first initial truma which the owners have to give to the kohen. Einu niteles elo mina goyron, umina yekev. It's learned from Psukim, in the same way as the Truma Gedoyla is only given once it's ready and it's been processed, which is from the Goyer on the threshing floor, from the Yekev, the wine press, Kach Trumas Maisa, so too Trumas Maisa, Eino Niteles Elo Min HaGoyeren U'Min HaYekev. And it's a knas, the Gemara calls it a penalty because he took it too early. So the Gemara says, but I have another issue. So you learn that Bryson, that Mishnah you learned, in the second version of Abaye, we were forced to learn that way, that we're talking about not the Tevel, the original Tevel, where the whole produce is chayev in Trumas and Maisus because you've brought it to the final stage of production. No, you're talking about Trumas Maisa, that is only chayev because the Levi took the Maisa. If so, we have an issue with the Mechashev. Mechashev means to estimate. I don't understand. If you're talking about the original Truma, where Min HaTorah, the original Truma, can be one wheat, and then we can understand. So if you're talking about Truma Gedola, estimate how much is approximately and give it to the Kohen. But if you say we're talking about Trumas Maisa, Trumas Maisa has to be 10% of the Maisa Rishon. So you can't just estimate. You have to know exactly how much Maisa Rishon you've got and take an exact 10% and give to the Kohen. Why are we talking about estimation if we're not talking about the regular Tevel of Truma Gedola? Answers the Gemara, Homani Abba Elozo ben Gimelhi. This is the opinion, that Mishnah is following the opinion of Abba Elozo ben Gimel. The Tanya, we learned in the Braise, Abba Elozo ben Gimel Oimer, and he learns it from a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'nechshav lochem trumaschem kadogon min ha-goyren uchamleo min ha-yokev. So it says that V'nechoshev, V'nechshav, you should estimate. Who is this? Lochem, you the Levim. You Levim should estimate Trumaschem, the Trumas that you the Levim are giving. Trumaschem is two Trumas. B'shtei Trumas, a cause of Medaber, two Trumas. Achas Truma Gedoyla, v'achas Trumas Maisa. Not only Truma Gedoyla you can estimate, but also the Trumas Maisa is also just an estimation. K'shem she Truma Gedoyla niteles bo'imid u'b'machshava. In the same way as Truma Gedoyla can be done by estimation, ubamachshava, meaning you can take it mentally, you can just think and say, you can't wait till the end to take your Truma, but you can, in your mind, mentally set aside and say, that corner on the far left corner, that corner is going to be truma, then that's sufficient. You can eat the rest. And at the end, you'll just separate what you'd, in your mind, separated. So too, kach trumas maisa niteles ba'imid umam machshava. So too, trumas maisa, the 10% of maisa rishon that the Levi gives to the Kohen, also can be done, number one, ba'imid with estimation, which is what we're talking about here, and also b'machshava, you can take it in your mind, you don't have to actually separate it before starting to eat from the rest. Continues the Gemara, Gufa Omar Bavo Omar Bshimon ben Lokish, Maisa Rishon Sheik Dimei B'Shibolim. If a Levi took his 10% in the stages before it became Tevel, and the state when it was still in the ears of grain in the Shibolim, Shmoi, the name Maisa Toivloi makes it Tevel, the Trumas Maisa, as we saw before. Maitama, what's the source? Omar Ova, Hoil V'Yotza Olof Shei Maisa. Since it received the title of Maisa, it's now considered, it's considered already tithable, it's already in the parasha of Truma, and therefore is chayev with Trumas Maisa. Continues the Gemara, Omer Rish Lakish. Maisa Rishon Sheikdimoi Bashibolim. If this Levi came and took his Maisa Rishon in the 10% of the produce before the owners gave the 2%, the Midrabon on the 2% of Truma Gedoila to the Kohen, does the Levi have to reimburse the Kohen? Besides for giving 10% to the Kohen from the Maisa Rishon, he has to give also to the Kohen that little bit that the owners should have and would have given to the Kohen had the Levi not taken it. Because the owner, let's say he's deciding to give 2%, if he would give 2% before the Levi comes, he would take 2% of everything. But if the Levi takes his 10% first, you're only left with 90% of the produce. And now the owners are going to give to the Kohen of Truma Gedoila 2% of the 90%, not of the 100%. Does the Levi have to reimburse that to the Kohen? Says Reb Shimon ben Lakish, potur mitruma gedoila. There's a special posuk. The Levi is exempt of truma gedoila. Shenemer, it says in the posuk, speaking to the Levim, ve'el halevim to daber v'omar to aleim, ki sikhu meis b'nei Yisroel es ha-maiser asher nosati lochem me'itom, b'nachalaschem v'harei moisem mimenu trumas Hashem, maiser min ha-maiser. When you get your maiser rishon, take maiser min ha-maiser. You should take maiser min ha-maiser called trumas maiser. And how Rabbi Elazar ben Gamliel is going to understand Maiser min ha-Maiser if he says that you can take an estimation, the Pasuk says explicitly, Trumas Maiser has to be 10%. So that's discussed by the Rishonim, and they say that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Gamliel, Maiser min ha-Maiser is a mitzvah. But Me'ikar Adin, you can just take less, you can just estimate. But either way, what's the Gemara learning out from this Pasuk? What's the Shlokish learning from the Pasuk that says Vare Moisem that the Levim have to take Mimenu Trumas Hashem Maiser Min HaMaiser, that Maiser Min HaMaiser Marti Lecho, that the Levi only has to take from his Maiser Rishon that he received from the owners, from that he has to take 10% Trumas Maiser V'loi Truma Gedoila. But it's explicit that he does not need to give to the Kohen the Truma Gedoila which the Kohen lost because the original owner is left only with 9%, with 90% instead of the 100% when giving the Truma Gedoila. V'loi Truma Gedoila v'Trumas Maiser min ha-Maiser. You only take Maiser min ha-Maiser, Trumas Maiser, you don't take the Truma Gedoila. Omele Rav Papa La'Abaya. So Papa asked Abaya, if you've got an explicit posuk that says that when the Levi takes his Maiser Rishon before the Kohen got his Truma Gedoila, the Levi only needs to take Trumas Maiser and not Truma Gedoila, Ihachi, afilu ikdimai bekrinami. What happens if the owners had already thrashed and piled and smoothed, and now min ha-Torah it's Tevel, and now the Levi comes and takes his 10% Maiser Rishon. Over there also you're going to say to the Levi that you don't need to reimburse the Kohen and give him what he was missing? We know that not to be true. So Rav Papa is asking Abaya that if you have a posuk that the Levi never takes from the Maiser Rishon more than Trumas Maiser, is that going to be true? Not only when the Levi takes his Maiser Rishon, when the grains are still in its shibboleth state, it's still in the ears of grain, but even once it's been thrashed and piled, would that is also going to be true? Omerle. So Rav Papa, Abaya said to Rav Papa, Olecho Makro, because of you, we have a special posuk to avoid your claim. The pasuk says, "Mikol matnoseichem," to the Levim, "Mikol matnoseichem," from all the gifts, the matonis that you're getting, "Tarimu es kol trumas Hashem," take all the trumas, "Mikol chelbei es migdoshei as mikdashay mimenu. So it says in the pasuk that the Levi has to take all the trumos. What is that? So that is means take trumas maisa and also take truma gedayla. So now we have an issue. We have two seemingly contradicting pasuk. In one pasuk it says v'aramoisem mimenu trumas Hashem maisa v'na maisa. The Levi only has to take trumas maisa, not truma gedayla. In the next pasuk it says torimu es kol trumas Hashem. Not only do you Levi have to take trumas maisa, you also have to take truma gedayla. So umaro iso. What made you say that one pasuk is the first pasuk is talking about when you took the maisa rishon when the grain was still in its shiboyle state, and the second pasuk is talking about when you took the maisa rishon in the kri state when it was already piled? Says the Gemara, it's logic. Hai idgon v'hai lo idgon. Once it's already been piled and smoothed, it's already called dogon. It's already called a finished grain, and therefore it's already minatayra. The truma gedayla now is due to the kohen. Because now it's tevel, now it's chayev. So if you take your maaser rishon now, then the pasuk tells us you're going to have to reimburse the kohen with the truma gedayla. However, in the case when it was still shiboyles, that min ha-Torah it's not yet tevel, and therefore when the Levi took the maaser rishon, it wasn't yet due to the kohen, the truma gedayla, and therefore the pasuk says you Levi do not need to reimburse the kohen. Continues the Gemara, Tanan Hosom. We learned in a Mishnah in Maseches Maaseres. Hamikalef so'irim, if somebody is peeling the barley, he's peeling away the chaff from the kernels of the barley. Then mekalef achas achas v'oichel. And this is in Hilchas Maaseres, that if you peel kernel by kernel and eat them, you're potter from maaser. It's not considered in any way as a final stage of production. It's not tevel, and therefore it's just called a snack. All the while it's not tevel, you're allowed to snack on them, and you can eat them. If, however, you didn't eat one kernel at a time as you peeled it, you just peeled a few and stored them in your hand. In that case, once you already have a whole bunch of these the barley kernels in your hand, it's already considered a final stage of a production, it's already tevel, and chayev, he's chayev to take maestros. He's not allowed to eat them just out like a snack. That's what it says in the Mishnah. Omer Rebbe Elazar commented on this Mishnah. We'll soon see it's not clear whether Rebbe Elazar is actually talking about this part of the Mishnah, but the Gemara assumes at this point Rebbe Elazar is commenting on what we just learned now. That he said, v'chein l'shabbos. So to the same way as you're allowed to peel one kernel at a time, in order and eat it on Shabbos also, if you have these kernels of wheat, you're allowed to peel them one at a time. It's not considered mefarik, which is a toilda of dosh, of threshing, is because it's such an unusual way of threshing, that or mefarik, it's such an unusual way of doing it that you're peeling one kernel at a time, that it's not considered a melacha on Shabbos. However, if you collect them in your hand, that's already a more normal way of doing it. And if you're going to collect them in your hand and you're not going to eat them one by one, that's already considered a toilda, a sub-category, so to speak, of disha, of threshing, and is chayev, and is going to be chayev. So according to this, Rebbe Elazar is saying that in the same way as one by one is not chayev in maestros, it's also not considered dosh or mefarik, and is not chayev on Shabbos. Asks the Gemara, Eini, is that true? V'horav mekalfele debisu kasi. We see explicitly that, and this is really talking about Shabbos, we see explicitly that Rav, that his wife of Rav, she would prepare cups of these peeled barley grains, and she would prepare them on Shabbos. Reb Chiya mekalfele debisu, Reb Chiya's wife would prepare kase cups of these barley kernels. And you see that on Shabbos it was mutter. So in this part of the Mishnah, what's going to turn out is that what? That if you have a whole handful of these kernels regarding Maisa, it's considered a Gemar Melocha. It's considered a finalization, and you chayev with Maisa. Regarding Shabbos, it's not considered that you're doing something normal and final. It's very strange and unusual, and therefore on Shabbos it's muta. So we have an issue. What did Rebbe Elazar say? V'chein l'Shabbos. What's v'chein l'Shabbos? We thought it means that on Shabbos you're allowed to you're allowed to peel them one by one, but you're not allowed to peel them in fistfuls or in cupfuls. We know that's not true from Rav Chiya and Rav. Eloi itma asefa itma. Keep reading the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar was talking about this Mishnah, but we stopped at the wrong place. Let's see what the Mishnah says next. Hamoylil melilois shel chutim. If somebody was rubbing these ears of grains of wheat, and now menapeach al yad v'oichel, he's allowed to just bit by bit. He's allowed to blow away. He's allowed to fan away the chaff from the grains, and he's allowed to eat them. And there's no chiyuv of ma'aseh yet. Ve'im nofach v'noisa netoichekoi. However, if once you fan them away, you then put these kernels collect them into your lap, and you keep them together. It's a type of a whole bunch of these wheat kernels. Then chayev. Then he's going to be chayev ma'aseh. Then it'll be chayev. Omer Rabbi Elazar, and this is what Rabbi Elazar said, v'chein l'shabbos. The same applies to Shabbos. If you have these melilois, moilil melilois from before Shabbos, and now you want to fan away the chaff, which is a type of a boira, a type of a separation, and you want to do that on Shabbos, you're only allowed to do it there's a number of conditions of boira, but you're only allowed to do it just a minimal amount that you need right now. But if you're going to start collecting them in your lap and having a whole pile of them, then this boira is going to be osur, and you're not allowed to do that. And that's what Rabbi Elazar said, v'chein l'shabbos, and that we understand that. Continues the Gemara. Maskiflor of Abba Bar Mamel. Abba Bar Mamel asked the following question. Let's go back to the beginning of that Mishnah that we just saw from Maisrus, where if you're peeling one kernel of barley at a time and eating it one by one, then that's okay. It's not a normal way of doing it, and you're allowed to eat it on without taking ma'isa. However, if you peel a whole bunch and pile them up in your hand and collect them in your hand, then it's already considered a type of a goyron, a type of a dagoncho, and you have to take ma'isa. And we saw that that's only regarding ma'isa. Regarding Shabbos, even if you have a cup full of them, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to collect them, and it's not considered, it's a tolda of disha, it's not considered threshing. So Rabbi Bar Mamel is asking, Vareisha, in that beginning of the Mishnah, lemaiser in, can it be that when you have a whole collection of these barley kernels in your hand, then as far as maiser is concerned, it's considered a finalization, it's a normal way of finalizing the production, so to speak, to be chayev maiser, but the Shabbos loy? But for Shabbos, it's not considered the normal way of doing it, and it's not considered a melacha. Umiyka midi, is there anything delinian Shabbos lo yav a gemara melacha? Is there anything that regarding Shabbos is not considered a melacha? Ula ma'isa have a gemara melacha, but regarding ma'isa to finalize that now it's chayav in ma'isa, that it is a melacha? Can that be? Says the Gemara, Maskiflor of Sheshes Bered Ravidi. If Sheshes Bered Ravidi is going to refute this assumption of Rab Abba Bar Mamel. Veloy? Is it so strange to you? I'll show you an explicit example where something is a gemara melacha for ma'isa and not for Shabbos. V'ha'goronon le'ma'isa. What do we need for ma'isa? The status of goyren, which often goyren means, in the case of the produce, of the grains, what goyren means, it means that you thrash and you pile and you smooth. We can understand that's involving melachos on Shabbos. But there are other types. Not everything is thrashed. You don't thrash vegetables and fruits and other things. So there's certain stages of goyron for some items which doesn't involve a melacha of Shabbos, but it is the finalization of the production regarding maisers. V'goyronon le'maisa. The concept of goyron only applies to ma'isa and doesn't always involve a melacha of Shabbos. That none we learned in the Mishnah. And again, this is in Maseches Maestros. Ezu goyron le'maisa. What's considered goyron for maestros? Hakishuin vadluin. These two vegetables called kishuin and diluin, mishe yiposku. That as soon as the blossoms have fallen off them, that's already considered a goyren for ma'isa. At that point, it's already finished, and yuchayev ma'isus. V'sheloi posku, but in the event that the blossoms have not yet fallen off, but misheyamid ormo, if you heap them into a pile, that's also considered making the end of the goyren. That's one example. Nami, we learned in another Mishnah, Gabi Betzolim, regarding onions, Mishnah in Maestras, Mishayamid Orma. As soon as you heap it into a pile, that's the Geiron. That's when you chayev with Trumas and Maestras. Ve'ilu, Gabba Shabbos, regarding Shabbos, Hamodas Orma. If you have these Kishuin and Deluim, you've brought them into your house, and on Shabbos you're going to pile them up. There's a Malocha with that. Is then you've done anything wrong? Potter is going to be Potter. Elomai, how are you going to explain that? Ma'is the cholameimar. You have to say that the concept of malocha of Shabbos and the concept of malocha of ma'is is different. Ma'is, malocha is determined by what's the final point of the production, of the finalization of preparing this to be used. And on Shabbos, there's a different category. It's called meleches machsheves osra Torah. The Torah only prohibited the lamates melochas, which are calculated labor, which is typically a type of a labor that needs some form of professionalism, some form of thought, and it has to be worked out. And that's a condition to be chayiv on Shabbos. Making a pile could clearly be the stage of Gemar Melocha for Maisa, but making a pile of fruits on Shabbos is not a Melocha. Melechas Machsheves Asra Torah. So Hochanami, so to hear, with these kernels of barley, Melechas Machsheves Asra Torah, in the beginning of the Mishnah. It's true that if you pile up these barley kernels in your hand, then regarding Maiser, it's considered a type of a Geiron and you Chayiv Maisus. But as far as Shabbos is concerned, there's no meleches machsheves. What are you doing? Just because you're piling up some of this produce in your hand, that doesn't make it into a melocha to be chayiv on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Ketzad Moilil, we saw before in Dafyud Beis, Amud Beis, that one's allowed to be Moilil Melilois on Yom Tov. What is Moilil? We said that if you rub the kernels and separate the seed itself, the kernel itself, from the chaff. How do you do this technically? Abaye Mishmeida of Yosef Omar, Choda Achoda. One finger against another finger, you rub the kernel between two fingers only. Rav Avyo Mishmeida of Yosef Omar, Choda Atarta. That you can rub your thumb against two fingers whilst rubbing the kernel. Rava Omar, Kiven de Mishani, Afilu Choda Akul Hunami. Rava says that since you're doing it in such a strange way, you're separating the chaff from the kernel itself in such a strange way, there's no issue here of uvda dechoil, and therefore you can even be meilil melilois with your whole hand. It means you can use all the fingers at the, when doing this. Continues the Gemara. Ketzad menapeach. We saw that regarding Shabbos, you're not allowed to be meilil melilois, but if you have them, that you've already broken up the chaff from the kernels, but the chaff and the kernels are all mixed together. You now want to do a type of a winnowing, but it has to be mutar on Shabbos. It's not allowed to be a melocha on Shabbos. So we said it's got to be miyad liyad. You do it in a very unusual way, just from one hand to the next. You transfer this mixture, and in the process, the chaff will fall away. Omar v'ada. So Ketzad Menapeach, Omer of Adabar Ava, Omer Av, Menapeach, Mikishrei Etzboisov Ulamailo. You're only allowed to put this mixture from your knuckles and on, but not into the palm. It has to be very an unusual way of doing it, and therefore it cannot be in the palm. And the Gemara says that Mochachu Alob Marovin out of Sol, they laughed at this. And Kivan de Mashani, since you're doing it in an unusual way, you're doing it by hand, where you're fanning it by putting it from one hand to the next, or you're fanning it with a hand, however we understand this menapeach, you're doing it in such an unusual way, Kivan de Mashani, afila bekula yod onami, even with your whole hand, you can do the fanning. Elo omer blozo menapeach beyodei achas ubekol koichei. What he actually meant was, how you menapeach, you're even allowed to fan with your whole hand. And it seems to mean that if you have the mixture in one hand, you can blow over it with the other hand, even with using all your force, and it's mutter to do that on Shabbos. And in the next year, we're going to continue the next Mishnah.